Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God has a word for us this morning from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse, and you'll find that printed in your service folder. 1 John chapter 3. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the word of the Lord. He stands and stares at the water, 4-year-old Caleb. The water is cool and blue and calm, and surely on this hot day in the middle of the summer, it is so refreshing, but it is not inviting. Not when it's your first time at the deep end of the pool. Little Caleb doesn't know if he can go in. He doesn't know if he can do it. He doesn't know if he can make it in the deep end. And even though he's got mom there with him, who has outfitted him with floaties around his arms and an inner tube around his waist and goggles around his head. And even though Dad is there and Dad's in the pool with arms outstretched, telling him that he can do it, Caleb doesn't know that he can do it until he jumps in. That moment at the edge of the pool, contemplating jumping into the deep end, it repeats itself throughout our lives, doesn't it? How do you know you're going to be able to do it until you do it? How do you know that you will be a successful student at the next level of your education? How do you know you're going to make it at that job? How do you know that you can quit that job and start your own business and make it? How do you know that you can plan and prepare and execute a 7-course meal for 12 people until you do it? It really doesn't matter what it is if it's challenging. If it stretches you, you don't really know you can do it until you do it. Today, my Lord Jesus said to me, I am the vine and you are the branch. Well, how do I know I am? How do I know that I'm actually grafted into the one true vine, Jesus Christ? How do any of us know when we're at the edge of the deep end on our deathbed? How do we know that we will be in our Father's loving arms? How do you know? The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. But how do I know that I believe? Or, to put it another way, how do you know that you're a Christian? This is not just the stuff of theological discussions in studies and libraries and lecture halls. This is, I think, a thorny question for everyone who hopes for eternal life. And today, the Apostle John comes to us this morning. He writes to us, each one of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is inspired. He's inspired to tell us that each one of us can know that we are believers by looking at what God has done in us. By looking at a love that is motivated by Christ, by looking at a faith that can only be worked by God the Holy Spirit. This is how we know that we are Christians. Now, the Apostle John is often called the Apostle of Love. That's because that Greek word agape, which means love, shows up in his epistles and in his gospel far more than among the words of any of the other Bible writers. Oh, he is the apostle of love. God's love for us first, our love for God, our love for one another. Lots of love in John's writings. But why? Well, one reason why is because John was writing in the last decade of the first century. And there was this false teaching spooking around. And this false teaching was essentially this, and I would say we kind of hear permutations of it still today. This is it. Listen, when you rise up, when you attain a certain spiritual level, like when you're close to God, when you get to the 33rd degree of your spirituality or whatever it is, well, you don't have to bother yourself with mundane things like showing love for other people. And John says, that's a lie. That's a lie. A Christian can think of no better thing to do than to love somebody else. And this love that he has is really because God has loved him. So impressed is a Christian with the love that God has for us, so impressed that we just can't help but love other people. The false notion is that we are storehouses of God's love. So God sort of dumps his love into us, and then that's where it sits. The Bible, however, teaches that we are distribution centers of God's love. And what's more, when we demonstrate love for other people, this is a way that we prove to the world and we prove to ourselves that we actually are Christians, that we actually are grafted into Jesus, the one true vine. And not just nice-sounding promises, but a love that is full of action, the way John says it is. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. There's a song in the songbook in our pews that goes like this. They will know we are Christians by our love. And it's true. It's true. Other people, the world, even those who are really not believing in the God of the Bible right now, will actually know that we are Christians when we demonstrate acts of love. They will know that we are followers of a God who is loving, in fact, who says, I am love. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that today in this Word of God, the Apostle John he sort of rotates that point just a little bit. Not so much they will know we are Christians by our love. We will know we are Christians by our love. How do you know you're a Christian? When you love. What kind of love? Love in action and in truth. Now, the phrase true love is normally reserved in our conversations for romance, for matchmaking, Hallmark Channel, that kind of thing. True love. What John says to us this morning is that when a love flows through, a love that is from God and flows through us to other people to help them, that is true love. That's love and truth. And here's what distinguishes it from, I'll just say, the world's idea of love. About 100 years before John wrote these words, there was a very famous ancient Roman council, kind of a philosopher, a poet, an author, all around keen observer of humanity, Cicero. And Cicero wrote this. People judge friendships by their usefulness. I'm going to say that again. People judge friendships by their usefulness. And old Cicero got it right. That's exactly the way the world looks at friendship or love between human beings. What's in it for me? How useful is this relationship going to be for me? Before I love you, I got to figure out what I'm going to get out of it. You know, what kind of a payback, what kind of a bonus will I receive? What fringe benefit will come my way if I show you love? But then, We look at God's love and we look at Jesus' love, right? And it was exactly the opposite. It was, what's in it for them? That was on his divine heart as he went to the cross. What's in it for them? We will know we are Christians by that love. But whose love is it, friend? When we play peekaboo with it, you know, we kind of show it and then we take it away. We demonstrate it and then we don't demonstrate it, all to control somebody. Whose love is that? Whose love is it when we berate a spouse or withhold affection from a child until we see a change in their behavior? Whose love is that? Whose love is it when we just avoid God's will in a certain relationship that we have or a certain conversation that we need to have with somebody. Why? Because that would make us uncomfortable. Whose love is that? It's not God's love. Why? Because there's more than a hint of what's in it for me in that kind of love. When you give, while the whole world is screaming, take. When you forgive, when everyone expects you to hold a grudge. When you serve, when it sure would be nice to be served. When you sacrifice, when the whole world is into self-preservation, we will know we are Christians by that love, true love, God's way. But if I left it here with the only sign that you are a Christian, the only evidence that you are a believer is if you love in a Christ-like way all the time. If I left it there, not only would I be failing to preach this entire Word of God, but I would also be leading an inadequacy conference because, you know, we've all been inadequate in this realm, right? We've all fallen short. Too often we have fallen into the world's model of loving. Now, are we going to be filled with doubts when that happens? Are we going to doubt whether we are believers because of that? This is why John mentions another proof of our Christianity. He says, you'll know that you are a Christian by a faith that only God can work in your heart. What's the most important command of God? Well, the most important command. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's a loaded question as you're sort of running down the Ten Commandments in your mind, running through them. You shall not murder. That's certainly an important command. Maybe it's you shall not steal. Or the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What's the most important commandment of God? Well, a lot of times we don't like to rank them because we don't want to think, well, one portion of God's will is more important than another. But here's the thing. John doesn't really ask the question that way. What is the most important command of God? He just says this. There is a command of God that when we follow it, we want to follow all the other commands of God. And here it is. This is God's command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So God's supreme command is believe in my Son. Trust in Him. Trust that in Him there is forgiveness. There is new life. Heaven is won. Lean all the hope that you have to stand before a holy God, lean it on Jesus and what He has done. This is God's command. Now, the Bible is really clear on this. To conjure up some kind of power within us to believe in Jesus in that way is impossible. For instance, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Corinthians that to a person without the Spirit of God cannot understand the things that come from God, for they are foolishness to that person. Or another time, he wrote this: no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, it is as nonsensical as pigs flying to believe that the Almighty God would go to a cross to pay for my offenses against him. That the Almighty God would want someone like you or me that badly, that much, that he would actually go to the cross. It just doesn't make any sense until God, the Holy Spirit, comes into our heart and works that trust. And what the Bible says is he takes that good news of Jesus Christ and he uses it as a tool to turn our heart to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. John says, this is how we know that God lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. Now, after this sermon this morning, we're going to say three times, I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in his only Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. We can't say that and mean it unless God has brought us to that conviction, unless he has sent his Spirit into us, a Spirit that dwells in us. And that, John says, is proof that you are in his family. Now sometimes we can feel the Spirit dwelling within us. There are these times when the gospel of Jesus Christ so fills us, so surrounds us, so embraces us through the fellowship of Christian friends, through worship, through music, in prayer. There are times, there are those mountaintop moments when Christ's message of peace and hope is just so real for us that we can feel it working. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with longing to feel that. But my question for you is this: what about that dreary Tuesday when you're not feeling well? And you're all alone, and not one, but two unexpected bills have come in the mail, and you don't know how you're going to pay them, and you had an argument with somebody you love, and you don't feel the Spirit. Is he there? Is he in you? Are you a Christian on that Tuesday? Your heart may say no. God says yes. Listen, listen to this word. We set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. The feelings of your heart, friend, that is not the final referendum on whether you are a Christian. God is. God knows. God works in you. God has sent his Spirit so that you can say, I believe, and mean it, even through tears. When your feelings are convincing you that you're not a child of God, let God convince you by his holy word that you belong to him. You know, I remember reading this incredibly touching story of the professional mothers of India who worked in the large orphanages there. Babies were struggling in these orphanages. Babies were dying even, and it wasn't because they were malnourished. The nutrition was okay. Somebody finally made the connection. What they needed was a loving touch. What they needed was someone to hold them, someone to cuddle them, someone to hold them close and secure. Enter these professional mothers who provided that cuddling, who provided that touch, and then the babies lived and the babies even thrived. How do you know that you're a Christian? Friend, would you please look to the one who's picked you up in his arms? Look to the one who picked you up in his arms when you were an outcast. The one whose saving touch makes you significant and secure and worthwhile. Look to the one whose love is so constant and so unchanging, even when our behavior is more spiritually infantile than mature. Friend, put away the microscope to examine your own heart and pick up the telescope and magnify Christ when you're wondering whether you are a believer. Look to the one whose hands are marked with nails, whose hands show his love for you, a love that moves you to love others. That's how you know you're a Christian, by looking to what Jesus has done. Amen.